The final frontier begins.
This is about saving the future of humanity.
This is a huge victory for the good guys.
You've never seen Voyager.
Commitment to this course of action is not emotional.
Scotty, beam us up.
Welcome to another episode of Beam Me Up, a Star Trek podcast. I am Brent Allen, and I have seen every episode of Star Trek 47 times.
And I'm Matt Sonnenberg, and this is my first time through the series.
And this is the show where we are on a mission to introduce people, and by people, I mean my good friend Matt over there, to the universe of Star Trek by watching, in air date order, the most important episodes that deal with the lore, the history, and the timeless message of Star Trek.
And while some people may be doing important work of finding lost cities, that might not be for everybody. But you can find a lost website over at beammeuppod.com, and you should find an email address, beammeuppod@gmail.com, and send us an email because we'd love to hear from you. So however you want to do it, whether you want to contact us through the website or via email, we'd be happy to hear from you.
You know, Matt, there's another lost website out there that they could also
really lost or brand new.
A little bit of both, maybe. A little bit of both.
But you can also head over to beammeuppgiveaway.com. and see what surprises we have waiting for you there.
Should be good stuff. Very excited about the stuff we have going on with giveaways this time. But Matt, enough of that. Moving on, let's talk about today's episode, which is the 10th episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine Season 5, entitled Rapture, or as I like to call it, the one where Sisko really should have been fired. In case you guys didn't watch this one first, in this episode, Sisko begins to receive visions which enable him to find the ancient Bajoran city of Bahala, but the visions prove potentially fatal, and one of those visions say that Bajor must stand alone and not accept Federation membership just yet. Now, Matt, before we get into the recap of all of this episode and everything that's going on with it, we'll talk about all the stuff surrounding it.
Sure.
Give us your overall thoughts and reactions to this episode that you've now watched for the very first time, Rapture.
From the very beginning, I've never really been a big fan of Sisko being the emissary.
Mm-hmm.
So when I found out this was a Sisko is the emissary episode and we're diving deep into it, wasn't my favorite. It had its moments, but overall, not one of my favorites. I'm going to stick with that even by the end.
Fair, Matt, fair. You know, you mentioned that, and one of the things that the studio really didn't want Deep Space Nine to do was to dive into too much of this Bajoran religion emissary stuff, because it never rang well with the audiences.
Mm-hmm.
And the viewership was always down on episodes like this until this episode.
Really?
This was the episode that actually did really well. It was very well received by the fans of the day. Now, I would say that a lot of that is because the show's getting better. People are a little more entrenched in the show. There's a lot of other things going on. But this was kind of one of those where even Ira Steven Bear got to the end of this episode and saw the reaction to it and was like, this is going to become a much more important part of the show. Not that they're going to have so many more episodes that are just focused on Sisko as the emissary,
mm-hmm.
but it's going to be like, it gave him permission. They always wanted it to be more incorporated, and it gave him permission. Like, now it's really going to start being incorporated into the overall story of what they're doing. And frankly, that's what makes this episode super important, because we've been on this journey with Sisko sporadically about accepting his role as the emissary. Mm-hmm. And it certainly, this is the final one of like, he has fully embraced this role, which doesn't make Starfleet like too happy, you know, but as the Admiral said at the end, if we try to take you out, that's not going to be good either.
It's going to scare the Bajorans away forever. Yeah.
Right. Right. Now, for me, just so you know, as somebody who watches the show several times, I think this is one of those episodes that probably grows on you the more you see it.
Hmm.
And I think it's always generally, I think it's better than I generally remember it. Like, I see it and I'm like, okay. And then I watch it and I'm like, oh, okay. All right. I'm with it. Like, I see where they're going with it. I see the things they're seeding in this episode. Yeah. So,
I mean, I will say I was kind of interested to see the Bajor entering the Federation storyline. Like, I wanted to see that play out a little bit more, but they went really deep into the emissary part of this and like seeing visions and giving prophecies. And like, there are a few moments that I just shook my head. I'm like, no, no, people shouldn't be doing that. That's not how I would react to things. No.
Does it make you feel better if I just sort of spoil the idea? Like, the way Sisko was in this particular episode, he's never going to be like that again. He's not going to be walking around like all like zen and being like, don't worry about the catapult harvest this year. You're fine. And your son forgives you. Don't worry about it, Dad Merlin. Like, he's not going to be that. Yeah.
Because he very much felt like cult leader.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a fine line between religion and cult. I understand that, but
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All of these things are going to start to collide after a while. Like the whole stuff with the Dominion and Cardassia and Gul Dukat and Kai Winn and the Emissary and the Prophets and the Wormhole and like the Klingons, even like all of this it's all going to start wrapping together here actually relatively soon for you, I think. And coalescing, you know, so all these little things we've been seeding, you know, it's the payoff, I think, is coming soon. You may get to the end and be like, yeah, it was all right. And then we'd be like, you need to go watch it again and again until you change what you just said. But anyway, Matt, this is normally the part of the show where I'd be like, hey, character actor spotlight, but I have none. You know, everybody, there's nobody really of note to talk about.
I was going to say, unless the Admiral was somebody, but
not really.
Like, that was literally our only like new character.
Yeah. So with that, Matt, why don't we just go ahead and jump on into the episode?
Sure.
We'll talk about the A plot. We'll talk about a B plot, which I divided the two between what was going on with Sisko trying to find Bahala and then the other one with Bajor entering the Federation. That's how I divided it. You and I don't often talk before like this moment right here.
I think I went about it slightly differently. Like mine was more like Sisko and everybody else.
Okay, fair. So we'll figure that out. But first, Matt, let's start with special moments, character moments, things that stood out to you, things that you might have questions about, just plot points that you're like, hey, I want to talk about that spot right there.
Yeah. So early on, I love to say, you know, I haven't made too many tech notes recently, but Sisko has the thumb drive.
Oh, the data rod. Yeah.
Sure. Data rod.
Yeah, the data rod.
They didn't give it a name, but yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. See, he's transferring data from one point to the other. Yeah. Got it. Cool. We get a brief mention of Rom, and I don't know how much we've seen him in episodes we've skipped, but basically like Rom's an engineer now. That's basically the idea they give us. And it's like, huh, okay. So he's out there doing stuff, even if we don't see him all day.
He is. And Matt, if you'll remember, the people who are listening to the show regularly won't, but our patrons will. You actually saw that episode where he transitioned over as one of our extra viewing episodes.
I don't think I've seen him since. So
that's very true. That's very true.
Like that's the last time I think I've seen him.
Cause I'm pretty sure since then it was the season finale cliffhanger into this season and then Trials and Tribulations. And then this one, like since we did that episode, I'm pretty sure that's how it's gone. So yeah.
Jake
is huge.
Thank you. It's not just my imagination. Like I feel like Jake grew again. Like I don't know if he grew taller or just, you know, put on some muscle and stuff, but like I almost didn't recognize him. Like until he said like dad, I'm like, oh, that's Jake. I thought it was some other guy like serving Sisko or something. I'm like, oh, what? Hello, Jake. How you doing? I don't know how long it's been since I've seen you, but you had a growth spurt, I think. Got hit by some hormones or something. So that was a kind of a big shock for me. But
I mean, he's, you know, he's in that 17, 18, 19.
Oh yeah.
Very much. Age where, you know, you really are transitioning into manhood at that point. And that's,
And like I said, with me just seeing him very sporadically as well, like those changes hit me a little bit stronger too. I think I greatly appreciate the old Klingon proverb. You cannot loosen a man's tongue with root beer.
I'm pretty sure Worf made that up on the spot. Because there's a look that Jadzia gives him when she says that. And that, like, I think she's looking at him going, what are you talking about? Like,
well, that's one of those things too. Like, I don't think the Klingons have many old proverbs, but sure, Worf. And I had another note here about hey, Bajor was approved to join the Federation, but that actually became like a bigger story point than I initially imagined. Like, I thought that was just going to be kind of a throwaway thing. And it's like, yeah, we're moving forward with this. And it's like, oh no, that's actually a bigger part of this episode. So I suppose we'll talk about that a little bit.
I mean, so Bajor getting approved to join the Federation, they just sort of dropped it on us. Like, they hadn't been seeding this for us at all. Mm-hmm. It's not like, hey, we're considering it. It's up for council to vote and debate. And, you know, Sisko didn't have to go back to the Federation to testify or anything like that. Like, it was just like, hey, we're here. Yeah. But if you remember, this was expressly his mission.
Yeah.
Like, this is what Picard gave him. You're here to help them and get them to enter into the Federation.
Yeah.
Like, this is why he's there. And I think the Admiral reminded us of that in this episode. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah. And then we, you know, obviously all know what happened at the end, but yeah, it's there. The things I hate about this though is Starfleet Admiral came. Starfleet is not the Federation. This should have been all the Federation ambassadors. You can have an admiral there, and I think we are to assume that some of the other ambassadors there, but
because they basically said, like, everybody's coming. Like, this is a huge, momentous occasion.
The president of the Federation is going to be there for a new world coming into the Federation. This does not happen all the time. You're going to have all these dignitaries. It's going to be a much bigger thing. And honestly, it's probably not happening in the conference room on the space station. However many millions of kilometers away from the planet, this is happening in Bajor. It's happening, you know.
Well, didn't they give us a line, something like the Bajorans requested that it happens on DS9 or something like that?
Yes, they did. And that's BS. That's not how that goes. But I get it. They didn't want to build a new set. You know, they had this room already.
That's how it goes.
They didn't want to pay for all these extra. Like, in fact, First Minister Shakar, who is in the episode Kira's boyfriend, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to be in this episode, but then they're like, he's just going to be a background character. Like, he's just going to sort of show up. He doesn't have anything to do with what this show actually is. And they're like, how much does he cost? Yeah, that's not worth it. We're just not going to invite him. Like,
yep.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. Bajor's going to be a part of the Federation, or they were.
Maybe. Eventually. Not today.
Not today. Yes.
So I don't know where this fits exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Kai Winn.
Yes. You love her, right?
Nope. Still hate her and still do not trust her. And so every time, like, she agreed with something and, like, she made up, oh yeah, this is why I believe things now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, you still have an ulterior motive. Like, what's your plan? What's your plan? What's going on? I don't trust you. Don't trust you. I don't trust what you're saying at all. Like, you, I mean, did we compare her to Umbridge already?
Oh, we have. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Yeah. And so I'm sitting there thinking, like, if you're agreeing to this, and then, like, when they're talking about, you know, Bajor joining, it's like, well, Sisko would love to be here, but, and she's talking with the Admiral. I'm like, okay, so now I don't trust the Admiral either. Like, you kind of have me wary of admirals already because you kind of told me, like, yeah, whenever the admirals come, like, they're just never,
never good. Yeah, we call them badmirals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, there's Admiral and he's agreeing with Kai Winn and I'm like, I don't like this. I don't trust him. And once again, I mean, by the end of this, I think we kind of see that it's ultimately because they need to counteract what Sisko is about to do and about what he's about to say. Because if the two of them agreed that, hey, yeah, let's not let Bajor join. And then Sisko comes in and says, yeah, don't join. I mean, what's the point? But still, I don't trust them. I don't trust Kai Winn. Even if she theoretically believes Sisko is actually the emissary now, like, I still don't trust Kai Winn.
I think what is painfully obvious is everything she was saying in this episode was calculated. It was political. It had nothing to do with her faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was like, if Sisko had not found Bahala,
yep,
like, she would not, like, that was the thing I think that probably said to her, like, oh crap, maybe he really is the emissary.
Yep.
It's like that irrefutable, like, I can't deny that anymore kind of a thing. And it's the, I'm sorry. Will he forgive me? Let me talk to your friend first.
Like she was the Doubting Thomas, right?
Yeah. See, Thomas was around before Doubting, though. Like Kai Winn would have been like the Pharisee there. Like, I mean, yeah.
But she didn't believe until she could see it.
Yeah.
Until she had that irrefutable proof.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Maybe she's more like the Judas. Like, she's around, but she's she's only in it for herself, man. She's only in it for herself. This has, you know.
I can see that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Kai Winn's back, and she's horrible.
Yep.
Yeah.
Still horrible.
Mm-hmm. She's such a good bad guy, though, Matt. She really, I mean, I've made it known my love for Seska. That may
be, but doesn't mean I have to like her.
No, it's like Umbridge is such a good bad guy. This is not, you know, I love Seska. You know that, like we've talked about her over in Voyager. I don't know who's a better person to hate.
Well, you see that
Kai Winn or Seska, like I'm not sure. Like,
Seska, I feel, is fun to watch. Kai Winn is just like burning anger the entire time. And I'm like, go away. Whereas Seska, I'm like, ooh, okay. How are you going to outsmart him this time? How are you going to, you know, get ahead of the game? Or what do you have planned already? Like, show me. Like, I want to see this. Mm-hmm. But Kai Winn is like, no, go away. Get off the screen. Go back to your planet. I'm done with you.
I agree, Matt. I absolutely agree. She's horrible.
In any case, I also liked how excited Quark got about Bajor being approved to the Federation just because he thought it'd be good for business.
Right.
So, you know, you don't see Quark get excited too often. Usually his big emotions are like upset because something happened and he's losing out on money.
Mm-hmm.
But he was over the moon excited to learn that. Yeah, there's going to be so many people coming through here.
But he was also prepared for the idea that the Klingons might eventually take over. And he dropped the wrong banner.
It's true.
He was good either way.
Everything.
Look, Quark was good either way. Because to him, it meant the same thing.
Yeah. He doesn't care who's there as long as money's involved.
Sounds like Disney World to me, man.
But yeah, you got anything else?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I got a few. The first thing that I don't know how we don't mention. Hey, remember those new uniforms that we saw, the spiffy new ones from First Contact?
They're growing on me a little bit.
Yeah. They made their way over to the show.
Yep. Uh-huh. I noticed them.
Uh-huh.
They're growing on me. I think I like them most on the medical staff so far.
Yeah. So
like, I think Bashir wears it real well.
He does. Yeah. Jadzia wears it really well too. Sisko doesn't have the right one on yet. It's too big for him. It's not his size.
Yes.
And it doesn't have the red cuffs that he should eventually have. The neckline's all wrong. It's so big. Everything's weird. His comm badge is in the wrong spot on his chest.
Weird.
It's not where it's supposed to be. Yeah. Now they'll get it fixed somewhere in the middle of the next episode. It's like they're doing the episode and then all of a sudden like, hey, we got his new costume. We'll put it on him. Dang it.
Like, man, come on. Yeah. You guys are making millions of dollars by season 5. You can get the captain's costume correct. You would think
of all people, but he has the vest on underneath that Picard had.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a thing. Obviously they brought him over. I do think that the uniforms are a little bit more low budget than the ones they had in the film. Maybe a little more mass produced, I guess.
It could be,
but just so you know, they don't get the new uniforms over on Voyager because they're lost in the Delta Quadrant. They don't have any way to contact Earth. Like,
sure.
They're not like the, hey, here is your updated uniform specs.
Yep.
They don't get that. Like, they're going to keep wearing it. So they literally, the costuming department, like, shipped all the old uniforms over to Voyager and said, here, y'all use them now. It's like you just secondhand hand-me-downs,
yep.
You know, here's to the little brother.
Yep, exactly.
Shot them all over there. But yeah, that new uniform I love the idea that Sisko's uniform is all not right. When they get it on him right, he looks sharp in this uniform.
That might explain it. Cause yeah, I, you're right. It definitely, I remember thinking like it feels big and baggy and yeah, that's basically what you were describing. So,
cause it was, let's talk about Cassidy for a moment.
Oh yeah,
Cassidy's she's back from jail. Hey, probably just a note to make because you remember why she went to jail in the first place.
She was working with the Maquis, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, it was a 6-month jail sentence. So it's been 6 months since that episode, at least in their time. If you go with it that way. There were two lines that Sisko had coming out of his visions that jump out at me.
Okay.
That I want to know, did they jump out to you? Did you make anything of them? Do you think it was anything more than just a vision? But he says this. He said, Sisko goes, I can see it all. I see where you did this, and I see this, the coming war with the Dominion, and blah, blah. Like, and he goes on and he says that. Did that strike something with you? Did you hear him say that?
I did hear him say that because then they were talking about, like, wait, you can see the future and the past? Yes, I can, and how it all fits together. And like, I was kind of okay with, you know, his visions up to that point, honestly, like, uh-huh. like even him being able to see a little bit of the future like that, it, like, I didn't mind that. That just felt, you know, sci-fi to me. Mm-hmm. It's as we progressed later into the episode where I had more problems with it, but, I did appreciate that little bit of what I'm assuming is foreshadowing, like, this is where we're going to take the story, probably. Well,
but so my question is as a first time watcher, mm-hmm. obviously I know exactly where the story goes.
Yep.
I know whether this whole thing with the Dominion leads to war or not.
Yeah.
Or what level it leads to. Most of the people listening to this podcast know.
Sure.
You have no idea.
Yep.
So is this just what do you think? Like, was this a line they just included? Like, you've been tracking this Dominion story arc.
Yeah.
As it sits right now, where do you project it's going? What do you think might happen?
I could easily see the war with the Dominion being the end of the series, whichever way it goes, whether, you know, DS9 gets blown up or they blowed up the Dominion. I mean, however it might happen, but like, I can see big final battle being with the Dominion mm-hmm. at the end of the series. Like, why not? And so, like I said, that's what I was saying. Like, I think I probably already kind of expected just the way we're tracking the Dominion story. Like, yeah, it's going to escalate into something bigger, I think. And then he mentions, yeah, I saw the coming war. And I'm like, I have no reason to doubt this. And to me, it just feels like, yeah, that we're going to give you a quick one-liner that some people might catch, some people will miss. And mm-hmm. this is where we're taking the story ultimately. So, I mean, obviously the way TV is written, mm-hmm. whoever wrote that line might not be working there next season. So who knows what happens,
right.
But, I would think that they left it in there. So they're probably at least at this point planning to go that route. We'll see when it happens. If it's, I mean, it could be the end of season 5, maybe that's the end of the Dominion, end of season 6. But honestly, like I said, that feels like it could be end of series.
Well, moving on.
Yep.
I will answer none of those questions.
I didn't expect you to.
That's my reaction.
That's my feeling.
It's an interesting thing to hear a first time's viewers like, oh, maybe they'll go here. Maybe they'll do that. And, you know, yeah. Anyway, but the other thing he said is he says the Locust are headed for Cardassia. Matt, what's happening to Cardassia? What's going to happen with Cardassia? Or what is happening to Cardassia that we just don't see yet?
That was confusing because the Locust came up twice. First, he said he saw them like hovering over Bajor, but then they went away and they're heading towards Cardassia. But then he brought them up again later and said the Locust will destroy Bajor unless they stand alone. So that almost makes it feel like the Cardassians are the Locusts. And so if, you know, they were hovering over Bajor, mm-hmm. that happened, that's, you know, could be the occupation, honestly, or it could be they're actually hovering over Bajor now and we don't know about it. Or there could be future yet too, I suppose. But in any case, they're headed back towards Cardassia. Well, duh, that's their home planet. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. But then he's like, they'll destroy Bajor unless they stand alone. So once again, that feels like the Cardassians will come back and destroy Bajor if they were to join the Federation right now. So like, that all makes sense to me. That's where I read it right now.
All right. I mean, it's very biblical in its idea, right? Like, I mean, we're talking 10 plagues. Much. Yeah. We're talking 10 plagues here, right?
Where else do you hear about locusts and swarms of locusts?
I don't know. I'm hearing about cicadas a lot right now, but you know, yeah, that's about it. Yeah. Yeah. I know. My son found a grasshopper on the car and I was like, son, that's a locust. He goes, really? I was like, maybe. I think in my head, they're always the same. They might be, they might not be. There might be a type of one, but I don't know.
They're very similar, I believe, but yeah.
I want to talk about Jake real quick, and specifically the choice that he had to make. Ben, his father, very clearly said, I do not want this operation. And the doctor came down and said, I can't do this. I can't go against his express will unless a member of his, unless his closest living relative tells me yes. And yeah. Jake goes in there and makes the decision to go against it. I mean, and he knew, like, he walked over to his dad and whispered in his ear, like, I'm sorry, but I ain't losing you. Now, we saw Jake in The Visitor and what's going to happen to him if his father ever goes away, like, not good stuff. So Jake obviously is making this, but I don't know that we've ever seen somebody in medical distress like this and having to have somebody else make that call for him. At least not on TV. What do you make of Jake effectively defying Ben?
Honestly, I was surprised how much weight they put on Sisko's original statement of, I don't want surgery. Like, not only in my mind did that happen a long time ago. I mean, it was probably only a couple hours or whatever, but like, he's didn't quite seem to be himself.
Right.
He's not in full possession of all his faculties. Right. And so allowing him to make that choice even seemed a little bit questionable. But then when he's unconscious and dying, to go back and say, yeah, he says no surgery. I'm like, well, circumstances have changed again. Would he still say no surgery? Like, things have deteriorated more since when he last saw him. And so, like, that was the big thing for me, was like, I feel circumstances have changed. So you can't go back and say, well, last time we asked him, he said no. I mean, this is a gross exaggeration, but to me, it felt like, yeah, when I was 18, I said, no, don't give me that surgery. And now I'm dying on a bed at the age of 80. And it's like, he said when he was 18, he didn't want surgery. So we're not going to do the surgery. I mean, that doesn't make sense to me. So part of me thought that they were just going to leave it at that. It felt like it took a really long time for them, for Julian to finally say, I need his closest remaining relative to give me the green light here. I'm like, oh, okay. If that's where you're going with it, Jake's going to do what I would do and say, give him the surgery. Because one, he doesn't want to lose his dad. Two, like I said, by this point in the episode, especially, like, I felt they had pushed way too hard on the prophets are going to take care of him button.
Yeah. Yeah. I never had the idea that the prophet, like, see, Matt, this is where I have a hard time separating how often I've seen this episode from like the moment by moment drama of the episode. Like, I never felt like the prophets were going to come in and save him, but I don't know that I ever knew it was going to be like,
but that's my point, is like, I know there are groups of people out there who want to leave everything to a higher power and say, oh yeah, this higher power will save us. This higher power will protect us and take care of us. And I get that. But personally, I also am of the opinion that sometimes those higher powers that you're talking about put people in your life to take care of you, to save you. It's not always going to be a miraculous glowing light coming down and healing you. Sometimes it's that doctor that's standing right there. And I think someone did make that argument at some point that maybe the prophets want Dr. Bashir to heal him. Maybe they have given him all the visions they're going to give him for now. And now he needs the doctor to take care of him. And that's where I had a hard time with this, when they were even, it felt like they were pushing and pushing and pushing and saying, no, the prophets will take care of him. Like, how about the doctor? I mean, he's on death's door. We've just seen him deteriorate in the past few hours and get worse and worse and worse. And you're basically telling, like, I got the opinion, like, you let him go another 2 hours, he's dead.
I think that was the idea. This is where I come back on the other side of going, I don't think the prophets cared. Like, I don't think the prophets, like, had an opinion one way or the other on who. I don't think they didn't arrange stuff in his life so that the doctor would be there to take care of him. The prophets are just doing the prophets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not all this stuff that, like, oh, pray to the prophets so that they give you this and give you that. The prophets aren't giving you, like, they have nothing to do with that. They don't care. They may tell you that things will be cool or be okay because they live outside of time and have this weird non-linear thing.
Time is not a thing for them.
But it doesn't mean that, you know, they talk about, oh, you bask in the prophet's love and all of this. And like, the impression that I get from the time we spend with the prophets and stuff is that's not their thing. You know, like you're taking this thing of what they really are and you're building all this other stuff around it.
And for me personally, watching this episode, I think part of it didn't help that Kai Winn was kind of in that camp. It's like, right. Oh no, this is the will of the prophets. Let them go. The prophets take care of them. So it's just like, why are you listening? Like, no, let Bashir take care of him.
Right. So there's one other piece that I want to point out here to kind of what you were saying, it kind of reminded me of this or made me think of this. When Sisko says, I don't want this surgery because it's going to take away the visions. This is not a quality of life situation, right?
Yeah.
This is not a, hey, we can bring you back, but your life is going to suck if we do. So what do you want us to go to extreme measures to save your life and let you come back? Or do you want us to just let nature take its course and go? That wasn't the case here. He would have been perfectly fine.
I was going to say, we can bring you back to the life you were living before your accident.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like you said, perfectly healthy.
And
you just won't have this added vision thing that makes you see funny and gives you headaches
and makes you act really weird. And that's the other thing is to go, was Sisko even in his right mind by saying,
that's what I said from the beginning.
And that's where Jake like gets to kind of come in and be like, look, Dad, you're under the influence. Let me make a call for you. You know, and I don't know where the legalities of that are, but I think Jake did right by his dad and by everyone else. And I want to fast forward to the end, Matt, when everything's all said and done, Sisko's back in his quarters and he comes in and he's like, why are we having jambalaya or gumbo or whatever? He's like, well, we never had the welcome back meal. Mm-hmm. And Cassidy comes out and she looks at Ben and she says to him, welcome back. And you get to the spot where she kind of mends fences between Jake and Ben. She's like, don't forget what you have. And like, she grabs Jake's hand, she grabs Ben's hand, and she puts them together.
Yeah.
And I don't think you realize, or at least for me, until that moment, how frosty it had kind of been in that moment between the two. But I mean, think about this is Jake and Ben.
Yeah.
And there's frost there.
Yep.
And getting to melt that moment, like in all the ways that we hate Kai Winn, I don't know about you, but for me, are all the ways I love Cassidy Yates. You know what I mean? Like, cause she is just a wonderful, wonderful human being and putting people back together. Did you make anything of that scene? Because I gotta be honest, I don't know that I ever thought about that scene in any kind of detail until preparing for this podcast.
Well, I didn't think about the frost in particular, at least in those words. Uh-huh. Like, that is a good way of putting in words what I did experience, though. Like, okay. I did notice that. And I did make a note of the final line of the episode that Cassidy gave us. Mm-hmm. I know you feel that you've lost something important, and maybe you have, but you've held on to something important as well.
Yeah.
Like, that's what really hit me. Mm-hmm. And I, like, that was the relationship that you were just talking about. And it's like, that's huge. And I think that is a lesson. Like, I put that under the Star Trek message. Like, that is something that people need to understand too.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, sometimes you give up things, you lose things that, yeah, maybe they were important. Maybe they did have some weight to them, but just because you gave up that one thing doesn't mean you've lost everything.
Right.
And it may have allowed you to hang on to something important as well.
And I might even say add something important, because there's one moment right after that where, you know, she puts Jake's hand in Ben's, and Jake kind of looks at his dad, and his dad like smiles and nods at him. He's like, it's okay. Like, I get it. You saved my life. Like, back in his right mind, I think Ben actually understood, like, no, that was going to kill me and it would have been done. And you know, that kind of, it melts at that moment. But then they turn and look at Cassidy, and Ben grabs her hand and adds it to their own.
Yep.
And there's the three of them there together, really, for, I think, for the first time we see as a family unit.
Sure.
Like I feel like this is kind of the moment where the three of them become a family. Like, not just here's father and son, here's dad and his girlfriend, the three of them, you know, together. Like,
yeah.
these are the, for lack of a better word, these are the Siskos, the Sisko Gateses, I guess, however we want to call it. But I just, it's a touching moment that I've never honestly thought about before this particular a podcast. So, Matt, that's as far as specific plot moments I have.
Yeah,
that's all I really had. I know typically we do B plot first just to sort of get it out of the way, but I want to just overall talk about the A plot with you of everything that happened with Sisko.
Sure.
And I, you know, I don't know if there's anything that we've left unsaid so far with this whole thing.
As I said, we covered a lot of stuff,
pretty much of it, both
in A and B plots. So,
but we've not really discussed Bahala at all, and finding just the A to B to C driving the narrative forward. You know, steps that they took. Did you enjoy the watching Sisko find this lost city and
yes.
You know, all of those parts of it.
Yeah, that was a great adventure. And I loved how he utilized technology. And I was just waiting for the zoom and enhance. Like, I knew that was coming.
Right.
It had to, right?
I was thinking of you every moment of this episode, Matt, because you and I have talked about that so often.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know if it's been on the podcast. You and I have just personally had that conversation so many times.
Yeah, that's something they use on TV so often. And I'm like, no, it's a grainy picture. That's all you got. Mm-hmm. You can't enhance that. Not to the point of legibility. But mm-hmm. I did appreciate it. And I kind of thought, like, maybe they'd try to be a little bit more clever about it instead of just zoom and enhance.
Right.
When he got him in the holodeck.
Yeah.
And he reconstructed the thing and he had the reflection. And I'm like, okay, now just like tell the computer to use its computing power to, you
fill
know,
in the gaps.
Try to fill in the gaps and mm-hmm. stop when it like recognizes all the characters or something as, you know, something that's in its database. Right. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, nope, that didn't work. So keep going, keep computing, see if you find another one that works. Mm-hmm. And like something along those lines. That's what I was hoping for. Mm-hmm. But then they just use enhance and I'm like, oh, come on, shortcut.
Mm-hmm. But at least he made him reverse the image.
Yeah.
You know, at least he got that in, right?
It was like, a reflection in the waterfall. Okay,
right,
fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, man, I always saw that as a painting, not a photo that they were looking at, and the idea that, because that was supposed to be a work of art, right? Like an ancient. And so the idea that was painted into the painting to be able to do that as a reflection, like that's just, that's something. So this whole storyline though, basically leads us to a spot where Sisko has to decide between his duty to the Federation and his duty as the emissary. And the two are diametrically opposed in this episode. Like they conflict to the highest extent, right? Yeah. I like what Ronald D. Moore said of this episode. He is one of the writers. He says, this is a classic example of what not to do. A Starfleet captain encounters a primitive culture, meaning the Bajorans, and declares himself a god. That has to be something that they teach at Starfleet Academy students in their first year. So certainly when they start hearing that somewhere out there on the frontier, Ben Sisko is now revered as a spokesperson for the prophets, it would probably raise a lot of eyebrows back at the headquarters. And that's what they made the episode about. Like, that's where they thought it'd be fun to go.
I mean, this is obviously in a more long-term play that they have mm-hmm. here, but the way you worded that, isn't this exactly what we just saw in our extra viewing, False Prophets?
Only on the other side, yeah. Where the Ferengi, because we did, yeah, we did. We just did False Prophets over in Voyager, which if anybody wants to hear that episode, go over to patreon.com/beammeuppod and you guys can find out how to jump in on all of those that Matt is doing. But yeah, we did. The Ferengi set themselves up as gods to a primitive culture and mm-hmm. the Federation had to go in and bust it up. And, you know.
And that's what I'm saying here. I mean, it's basically the same thing that you're talking about.
But the difference is Sisko didn't go in and do it himself. I don't know, because he sort of comes out of the wormhole. Nobody else is there to verify it. It's just Sisko going, yeah, it's me. Right. Like,
yep. We had that. And I mean, I don't think I would argue that in the other episode, the Ferengi didn't necessarily go there and say, hey, we are gods. They appeared and the people said, oh, you fit this song that we have. You must be you know, the sages that we are looking for.
Right. And seven years later, they're like, shoot, we really hate these guys.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's in both cases, to me, it was the quote unquote primitive culture naming this person or people their god, their emissary.
Right. Still, but with all that, I find it really a fascinating thing of he's here for the sole purpose of getting them into the Federation. And when that moment comes, he goes, nope, not yet. Bajor must stand alone. And that's kind of, you know, and there's the Admiral's like, look, I would fire you right now, but bad stuff would probably happen if we did. And
it Sisko would be worse if I did.
Right. And Sisko's like, but hey, if it makes you feel any better, I'm really sure it's going to happen one day.
Mm-hmm.
Just not today. Today is not that day.
I mean, that's what he said the whole time. It's like, just he said the locusts will destroy Bajor unless they stand alone. Mm-hmm. It's too soon. So he never said they shouldn't do it. It's just they shouldn't do it right now.
Matt, I have one other note I want to talk about before we get out of this episode today.
Okay.
That has nothing really to do with this episode. So do you have anything else about this episode before I throw this one little thing at you?
I think I'm ready for you.
So this is obviously the first episode of Deep Space Nine that airs after the movie First Contact has come out.
Okay.
You may have noticed that they completely just ignored a little thing that happened in the movie, namely that the Defiant got all sorts of jacked up.
Indeed.
Did you notice that at all? Did you think about it at any step of the way of like, hey, I wonder what's going on with the Defiant. Have they fixed it yet? Like, did that cross your mind at all?
Think about that. Worf was in the bar, yeah. So he was at least back at DS9, but it's he true. Didn't even mention his ship. So
do you think Worf came back and was like, hey, look, guys, I got a spiffy new uniform. Y'all want one? Just curious. Actually, I think Worf had the new uniform on when he was on the Defiant at the beginning of the film. Anyway, all of that to say, they really don't. They don't mention anything about the Defiant. And you would think with the Defiant, if it went over and it got all jacked up with the Borg encounter, they would at least maybe mention something, or you'd see it out there getting, O'Brien's out there fixing it, and that's where he's been this whole episode.
Yeah, or like when Worf makes fun of Quark a little bit in the bar, maybe he fires back with, why don't you go back and work on your ship?
Right, right. Like something like that.
Just some little one-liner.
Yeah. So they don't mention it at all. Like completely ignore it. That's not a mistake.
Okay.
That was the writers and the producers intentionally ignoring it, because Ira Steven Bear particularly was pretty miffed at the idea that they just would bring the Defiant into the movie to have the crap kicked out of it.
Yeah.
Like he didn't like, he's like, no, the ship's not going to go in and just get the snot knocked out of it. And you're going to forget it just as a plot device to get Worf back to your ship. Like it, he just kind of like, he hated what they did with the Defiant. And so he's like, we're just going to not talk about it. We won't say it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not going to just go out there and like start using it right away, but we're just not going to talk about it.
It's like just, Worf and Trials and Tribulations. Yes. Yeah. They're Klingons. We don't talk about it with outsiders.
Right. Right. Yes. The Defiant got jacked up in the strip. We're not talking about it here though.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he just didn't want to talk about it. Knowledge. I just find that funny because I've often wondered, like, shouldn't they have done something with the Defiant over there? All right, Matt. Well, I think that's going to wrap us up on this episode of Rapture as we go through it. A thrilling episode, I can tell. I will boil it down. Let's bring it down to the brass tacks, as they say, Matt. Did you like the episode? Is this one you'd want to watch again? But do you understand, most importantly, why it's a part of our run?
I'm pretty sure I understand why it's part of the run, yeah.
Why?
There's enough.
Why do you think it's a part of the run?
Well, I think we're going to be watching most Sisko is the Emissary episodes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a storyline we've been following. Like you said, there was kind of like a future telling mention of Dominion and stuff,
mm-hmm.
or at least I think it's future telling. So you got that going there.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Sisko almost dies, I mean, that's an interesting story point to bring up. I mean, like you said, like it brings not only Jake and Sisko back together, but Cassie into the picture. So like that could be going forward. So, I mean, there's enough in there that just about any one of those, I think, could have been enough to watch this episode, but put them all together. And it seems like, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on here. I didn't at all question why it was part of the run. But as I kind of hinted at heavily in the beginning, did I enjoy it? I mean, would I watch it again? I mean, I'll probably give any of them at least one more shot. Mm-hmm. And you apparently think that it gets better with time, but I'm not so sure about that right now.
Like I say, I think this is one of those episodes that is generally better than I ever remember it. And I say it that way. Like, I remember it kind of going, eh. And then I watch it and I go, I think that's actually a pretty solid episode. That's my typical, I think, reaction to this episode.
Okay.
All right, Matt. Well, that's fair. All of that is very, very fair. Like we say, we don't always pick all the great rosy winners. We pick the ones that are important to the lore, the history, and the timeless message of Star Trek. Speaking of that, Matt, would you like to know what our next winner is? Or is it a winner? We're going to jump back over to Voyager for an episode called Fair Trade.
I'm guessing that is not a Ferengi episode.
That is not a Ferengi episode. And as far as extra viewings go, Matt, I have done for you this week.
All right.
So, all of that being said, it's time to round it out. Matt, that's going to do it for us this week on Beam Me Up, a Star Trek podcast. Remember, folks, if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can do that by sending us an email to beammeuppod@gmail.com. Or just visit us at beammeuppod.com for more ways to contact us. And visit us at beammeupgiveaway.com to learn how you can find out what we're doing this month. Matt, where can the folks find you out there on the internet?
You can find me personally on Instagram and Twitter at As A Matter Of Matt.
And if you guys want to get in touch with me, you can find me at Brent Allen Live across all the social medias. I'd love to connect with you guys there as well, too. Until next time, folks, live long and prosper.